Hello and welcome to episode 10 of The Perfect Cast. I'm Lisa.
And I'm Jack. This week we discuss Little Women, Mid-90s and Porco Rosso.
We also talk about Next in Fashion, Rod Gilbert Live, and we've got a new game for you, shows they've been in. Let's do this.
Right, so we went to go and see Rod Gilbert this week.
Yeah. If you've not heard of Rod Gilbert, he is a comedian. He does a lot of things on like the BBC, like Rod Gilbert's Work Experience, which is where he goes and does a job for a day. Like one episode he was a mum.
Yeah, or he's a bricklayer or a flight attendant.
Yeah.
That sort of thing.
We know him best for being a stand-up comedian, and we've got all of his previous shows on DVD, but he's not toured for the past 7 years.
7 years, indeed.
So when I saw that he was touring again, I was like, oh, I'll grab us tickets for Jack's birthday.
Yeah.
So we went to go see him on Sunday.
We did, in the Empire Theatre in Liverpool.
Yeah. What did you think?
I did enjoy it, but it was so dissimilar to his other stand-ups. So Rod Gilbert is sort of renowned for being this angry Welshman who his comedy is based off getting annoyed over small things that don't really matter that much. And that's what makes it really funny. This one had a more serious tone to it just because of the things that Rod's been through in the past 7 years. And then the whole like premise of it is he's sort of taking the mick out of his driver and the interesting things he comes out with when they're like touring around together.
I like to go to see a stand-up show just to sort of get away from the real world and just have a bit of a laugh. But this tour is like raising awareness about dementia and having a stroke.
Yeah.
Because his mum died of dementia and he had recently had a stroke. So because his mum died in Wales and he lives in London, he couldn't drive because of a stroke. So he hired this driver, John, to take him back and forth from London to Wales. And they had like loads of silly conversations, and that's what this show is about. But his wife's got endometriosis and he's a bit older, so they're struggling to have kids as well. So that was like a big part of the show.
Yeah.
And like,
his dad suffered a heart attack as well.
Oh yeah, yeah. Stroke, dementia and endometriosis are all like big triggers for me.
Yeah.
It was really hard to sort of get past them because it was the whole show was basically that.
Yeah.
So it was like really,
it was bringing up relatable things that have happened in your life.
Yeah.
So it puts your mind at that. And as you said, you're trying to get away
from that.
From that. And he made a joke about it saying, oh, you've all come to watch comedy and I'm rattling on about this.
Yeah.
And he was funny when he was like telling the less serious parts of things. Yeah. But because you sort of, you're not in a, oh, I'm sitting here listening to jokes mood now. It was sort of storytelling with comedy.
Yeah.
But instead of it just being all funny stories, it was really sad but nice stories mixed in with some jokes, and at times just sad.
I know, like my mind kept wandering off as well because like I was thinking about certain things that have happened to me.
Yeah.
And then I was just like, oh, this is making it really hard to enjoy it, because normally like one of his tours is about a pie in a service station, like,
and he's wondering why it's won awards,
what award it has it won and stuff, and it's just stupid things that would just make you laugh because it's so ridiculous. And like that's what is
the, yeah, and there's like, they're all Rod Gilbert and the, so the other one is like Rod Gilbert and the Flaming Battenberg tattoo.
Yeah.
And he just randomly got a tattoo of a piece of Battenberg cake on fire. And there's a whole story behind it. Or Rod Gilbert and the cat that looked like Nicholas Lyndhurst. And again, ridiculous story behind it.
So this one was a bit like heavy and
I
couldn't, as much as I enjoyed the humour when
there was humour,
I couldn't get out of my head and I couldn't enjoy it as much as I'd wanted to.
Yeah.
But like, he's not toured for 7 years, so like his comedy will have changed a bit and he's had to like maybe grow up, because obviously he has grown up, like a lot's happened to him in the past 7 years.
But yeah,
It just wasn't what I was expecting, and I was a bit, I don't want to say disappointed, but disappointed.
Yeah, yeah. That's a fair enough point, I think. Like,
Yeah.
I hope he does continue to do stand-up, because this doesn't put me off Rod Gilbert or wanting to watch him again. And it's good that comedians do this as well. It reminded me of Aziz Ansari's last stand-up, which is him like doing stand-up again after his like the sexual harassment scandal.
Yeah.
And he talks quite deeply about that, then tells a few jokes, then talks deeply about some other stuff, and then tells some more jokes. So it's similar to that, but I guess when you're hoping to go and watch just all comedy and expecting like just laughing for a couple of hours, it didn't have that.
It wasn't like his other tours, and I think that's what we were expecting.
Yeah.
If you've never seen Rod Gilbert, I know I said it earlier, but check out YouTube. A lot of his stuff's on YouTube.
Yep.
If you're not from the UK, probably need subtitles. He's very Welsh.
He is very Welsh.
Sometimes I don't know. I think throughout the show, I just kept leaning over to Jack and be like, what did he just say? Because he's just super Welsh. I did enjoy the show, don't get me wrong. It just wasn't what I expected and didn't sort of meet my expectations. I think I set the bar too high. Just because I've really enjoyed everything he's done in the past. Like when he's on Would I Lie to You and stuff, he's still really funny.
Oh, yeah.
And you're just like, what is he going to come out with next sort of thing? So when it was like a bit serious, I was just a bit like, oh, it's not what I've come here for. But I do appreciate that he is raising awareness and money.
Yeah, so the reasons behind the show were really nice.
Yeah.
And that sort of thing. Just, missed the mark, didn't have what we were expecting.
No, which is a shame.
Yeah, so what's been going on with you otherwise?
I went to the cinnamon. Sorry for that funny, I'm tired. I went to the cinema last week to see Little Women. Okay. I think I've banged on about it quite a bit that I've wanted to go. I don't know if I've done it on the podcast, but I've definitely mentioned it a few times. But luckily, my friend wanted to go see it, so you didn't have to come. So I'll just give you like a synopsis.
Yeah.
Based after the Civil War, Joe, who's Saoirse Ronan, lives in New York trying to make it as a writer. Amy, Florence Pugh, lives in Paris with her Aunt Mar, who's Meryl Streep, to become a painter. But while she's there, she bumps into her childhood crush, Laurie, which is Timothy Chalamet.
Yeah. I don't know.
But he had recently proposed to her sister Jo, but she had turned him down. Meg, Emma Watson, married a school teacher and wishes she had a more wealthy life and didn't have to worry about money. I mean, who doesn't? But after spending a fortune on material for a new dress and seeing how much extra work her husband will have to do, she sells the material and realises she has everything she ever wanted in her family. The final sister, Beth, is unfortunately ill with scarlet fever, which she had gotten after visiting a house of the less fortunate, bringing them food and blankets. Although she had beaten the illness in the past, this time around it wasn't looking as good. So Jo, Meg and their mum, who's Laura Dern, spend as much time as they can with Beth, reminisces about past times. There's a lot of jumping around timelines throughout the film, which I don't know if I wasn't paying attention or not, but I found it a bit confusing at first.
Okay. Did it tell you when it was jumping around?
I think it did the first time and then it didn't after that. And I think that's why I was like, where are we?
Was there a difference in the way it was filmed or anything?
You just sort of got it from like what they were saying, but it took me a minute.
They did that in The Witcher and I didn't get it.
Yeah. But I don't know if it was just because I wasn't paying attention because we were fiddling with popcorn for a while.
right, fair enough.
I really enjoyed the film. There's an episode of Friends where Joey and Rachel swap books. I think Joey gives Rachel The Shining and Rachel gives Joey Little Women.
Okay.
And Joey ruins the ending of The Shining for
Rachel.
So she does the same. It really hurts Joey's feelings. And he's really upset about what happens.
I haven't seen that episode.
So I know what happens and I'm glad I knew what happens because I was prepared.
Is this a remake of a remake? Well, has this been remade a few times?
Yeah, it's a book.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's had lots of films. I think the last film was in like the 90s and I think it was like, what's her name? Like Demi Moore maybe?
Right.
Either Demi Moore or that one from Beetlejuice, Winona Ryder.
Oh, okay.
Or maybe neither of them.
I'm pretty sure someone told me it was Winona Ryder the other day.
I think it was me.
Who's the author?
I don't know.
Oh, it sounds like Jane Austen or something.
I want to
like
say
that.
Laura Ingalls, but I'm pretty sure she did Little House on the Prairie.
No, I have no idea.
But I think it's the word little has got me there.
Nice. Okay, so
either that or she wrote Stuart Little.
Was it worth the trip to the cinema?
Yes, I give it 4 stars.
4 stars?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. It's better than where I expected. I also find it like quite funny that like it's an American film. It's based on like this after the Civil War, but they're all played by British and Australian people, which doing, I thought was funny. American accents.
Yeah. It's a novel by Louisa May Alcott, so not Jane Austen.
And not Laura Ingalls. Check Laura Ingalls for me.
Okay.
I want to be right about something. Right. I also wanted to say, like, I don't know how close it is to the book, because obviously I've not read the book, but we've just had a look and it was written in 1868.
Wow.
But Jo, who's like the main character out of all the sisters, Jo wants to be a writer, but she wants to be a writer about women who don't just do things for men and women who don't just have husbands.
So all of her
stories are about, like, from what I can gather, it was like her and her family.
Yeah.
And they're like, where's the husband? Why isn't she fallen for a boy yet? And she's like, because you don't need a boy.
Right.
So I feel like it's interesting that it was written so long ago, but there's still like feminists and people who are saying, why can't women just do the same as men sort of thing?
Yeah, everyone, like equality.
But like I said, I don't know if they've just adapted that for more modern times or if it was the way it was written. I'm hoping it was how it was written because I think that'd be really cool that like it's still...
Well, you'll have to go...
It's sad actually that it's still a thing that we're fighting for, but...
Every single week... You have to go back through every other adaptation and watch as it evolves.
So next week,
report back.
Next week I'll be watching the 1994 Little Women. Stay tuned for my review.
that won't be happening. Unless you want to.
I really can't wait to see the 1933 version. It's Katharine Hepburn. That's cool.
Ah.
She old.
She's dead, isn't she?
I don't know. Yeah. 4 out of stars. God, my mouth today. 4 out of 5 stars. Really enjoyed it. Have you watched any movies?
So I watched Mid-90s on Netflix.
What's that?
It's a film about skateboarding.
Oh.
Mid-90s follows the life of a 13-year-old boy with a troubled home life who starts skateboarding with a group of friends who work and hang out at a local skate shop. It's Jonah Hill's first time directing. The guy from Superbad, for those who don't know Jonah Hill. Yeah, I was just... going through my Netflix the other day and I saw that this had popped up. Don't know why I've not seen it up until now.
I've never heard of it.
Neither had I. And then I just saw it on my feed and thought, this looks amazing. It was fantastic. Considering it's Jonah Hill's first time directing, it's...
What genre is it?
A fantastic homage. It's a fantastic homage to skateboarding. I'd say indie.
Okay.
Definitely indie. He shot it all in 4x3.
Yeah.
Which he was having a hard time to sell it to the studios in shooting in that in ratio and all on 16mm as well. But apparently the Grand Budapest Hotel was also shot in the same way. So when he pitched it, he was just like, well, Grand Budapest, that made loads of money. So, you know, this is why I should do it too. And that obviously got through. He actually used real skateboarders for the film. So it's a proper coming of age story, like 13-year-old meets a bunch of guys, just starts skating with them. That's pretty much it. But like one of the skaters is from a really, really troubled home life. One of the skaters is so good he could go pro. One of the skaters is good enough to go pro, but he's too into like partying, drugs and alcohol, and that sort of thing. And like even though like I grew up skateboarding and had relatable things like this, but not to those extremes, but there's so much in this that I think any like person who was skating when they were 13, 14 years old could relate to.
Yeah.
And it's exactly what Jonah Hill was saying. He grew up in Los Angeles skateboarding and this is what his life was like. He wasn't particularly a good skater, but he just wanted to tell that story. His view of the film is the reverse skate film. So instead of it being just all about skating, it was about all the connections that humans make and that bond and friendship throughout. Like, it's hard to believe this is his first film because of the level of detail, care and attention that he put into it. But he'd like, because he's been in so many other like big films like Wolf of Wall Street and stuff, he was asking advice from like Martin Scorsese and like Ethan Coen to like help him out on the film and stuff. And there's a bunch of things like he was saying, oh, I don't know whether we should include this amount of swearing and the way we talk and things like that. And they were saying, well, is that what it was like at the time? If it was, you have to stay true to that.
Yeah.
and just so many things, like the actors he got in, these like young lads who he'd like literally recruited from a skate park. He'd give them iPods with all like the music he was into and all the music of that time, just to get them into that era. And right. They'd watch like films that inspired him to create the film, and
okay.
he'd get them into like, because these kids are like 13 to 16 now. They hadn't, you know, it was 10 years on from when Jonah Hill was skating at that time as like a 13-year-old kid, because mid 90s. So did it been, yeah, like, because they're all, yeah, 13 years on. So they had no idea. So they've all learned like of music from that era and that sort of thing. After watching the film, I thought the soundtrack's amazing, and there is a Spotify playlist with all of it on.
Okay.
But it's all like hip hop that I used to listen to, like Nirvana, the Pixies, just all my kind of music. So I'd recommend watching it to anyone, but anyone who is like interested in skateboarding or has ever skated mid-90s is an awesome film. Cool. I gave it a 4.9 out of 5.
Wow, okay. Okay.
Yeah, it's just really cool. Yeah. I want to watch it again.
Yeah, we can link the Spotify playlists in our show notes if you want.
Yes, we will do. So I also watched the end of Castle of Cagliostro, and I started my Ghibli binge mm-hmm. with Porco Rosso, because I hadn't seen Porco Rosso. It was pretty good. Followed a lot of similar Ghibli trends. What I did like about it, the main thing I liked about it, was it was a typical like Princess and the Frog situation. So they talk about the reason he's a pig, or he's half man, half pig, because he got a curse on him, but they don't delve too much into it.
Yeah.
And the way that he stops being a pig is with True Love's Kiss. But again, they don't delve too much into that, even to the point where you briefly see him as a human at night, similar to Sophie in Howl's Moving Castle. She stops being an old woman at night.
I thought you were going to say Shrek. Princess Fiona.
Oh, Shrek, yeah. That typical fairy tale sort of thing. And even when he does become a human again, it's only very briefly at the end, and you don't even see him as a human.
Okay. But
they say like, hey, what happened to your face? Let me see your face. As he's like running off. But that's like, it was a pretty cool film. It's about this like half man, half pig bounty hunter, but he's got all of these pirates after him, but they're all sky pirates. So.
Yeah, because the picture on the front of the box, that he's a pig in a plane.
Yeah, it doesn't really delve into any reason into it. He's just this guy who gets into dogfights and is a bounty hunter.
Mm.
And they're like saying, oh, they're bringing in these new things, so the bounty hunting's going to end soon, and I don't know.
Yeah.
But it was really good, like typical really nice Ghibli animation, soundtrack was really nice. Don't really have much else to say about it, to be honest.
So is that an early one, or is that like a mid?
I can't remember the exact date, but I think that's like a relatively earlier one.
Okay.
So I'll probably watch some more Ghibli this week. So they've just landed. I can't tell if all of them are dubbed or some of them are still in Japanese.
Okay.
Yeah, which is unusual. I'll have to double check and get back to everyone on that.
Mm-hmm.
But Porco Rosso, I'm going to give that one a 3 out of 5.
Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah, it was okay. Just down to sort of lack of story, really.
Can I just point out that that's your lowest score so far?
Yeah.
Ever on the podcast.
Yeah, and it's mid-table. I've got to start. Got to start going in low.
Yeah.
Otherwise, everyone's going to think they're just way too good.
But making everyone's heads huge.
Maybe I've got to stop watching such good quality content.
Okay. All right.
That's what it is. Yeah, that's it for me with films as well. Castle of Cagliostro was good, I think. There isn't really much left to cover on that.
Yeah.
As well, again, available on Netflix. So.
Mm-hmm. I didn't watch any more films, but we did start watching on Netflix the new sort of competition, and it's called Next in Fashion.
Yes.
And it is a lot like Project Runway. It's hosted by Alexa Chung and Tan France, both British, but it's like an American TV show. It's a bit of a twist on Project Runway. Instead of amateurs, they've taken professional fashion designers, but they've paired up the contestants, which I think makes it like a lot more challenging, because everyone's got like huge personalities, so they clash quite often. But so it's like also a disadvantage. So if one person's like, I really feel like we should go in this direction, and the other person can't get their point across,
I think one thing that
one person's let down.
One thing that made that unfair was they got to pick who they paired with.
No, they didn't.
They did?
They didn't.
Well, I can't
maybe
remember.
They didn't, but I don't remember them being like, I choose you, and I choose you.
Yeah.
Some people do know each other, like there's people who've worked together, but then there's people who have never worked together and don't even know each other. Like the guy from Brooklyn who was very obsessed with the fact that he was from Brooklyn and he was also in the military.
Oh.
So he was, I'm a drill sergeant. I'm from Brooklyn.
Stop saying that he was from Brooklyn.
I know.
I got it.
But then he was paired with a girl from Scotland.
Oh,
who,
yeah.
Was like, I've never really left Scotland. Scotland doesn't have a big fashion scene for me to flourish in. So already you're like, oh, she's not as good as everybody else.
Well, yeah, but
she sort of gave up her job when she had her kids. And then she's paired with this guy who's like got his own clothing line, who's like dressed Beyonce.
I think the downside was, I thought it was just for the first episode where they worked together as a pair. So no one actually got to show off their individuality and their own quality, because it was always either a 50-50 relationship or like a 90-10. And I think because of that, they got rid of the couples that didn't work well together very quickly. And I thought it was unfair because of that.
Yeah, for sure. That's what I'm saying. Like, the guy from Brooklyn always overpowered the Scottish girl because he was like, no, I know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And she did try and stand up for herself a lot.
Yeah.
But it got to the point where they were just bickering and they just didn't like each other. So, you know, they didn't last very long. There are two girls that I am obsessed with, and it's the two Asian girls. One's from China, one's from
South Korea.
I don't remember their names, unfortunately, but what do they call themselves? Dragon Princess or Warrior
Princess? Oh, Princess Dragon.
Princess Dragon.
Yeah, see the Princess Dragons.
And they've got like a little
Dragon
dance.
Princess.
And they are so cute, but the only downside they've had so far is the cultural
differences.
So like they had to do a lingerie challenge, and they were like, both of them were like, we don't really know what lingerie is.
Yeah.
And then they had to do a rock challenge, and both of them were like, I don't really know what rock is. So they just did their interpretation of rock.
Right.
And they got penalised a little bit for that, and I'm like, well.
But then I think this breeds interesting results. It's someone's interpretation on a subject.
I quite like their rock stuff. Like, it didn't scream rock, but it could have been like futuristic rock, because it was quite silvery and a bit tinfoily. But like, people were doing glam rock, people were doing punk rock.
Yeah.
Like, they could be future rock.
This is a classic example of, like, I love these shows where they get given a brief and then they show the creativity and it's all like done at the end. So no matter what the type of show, I'm interested in it providing
the result.
A low level of
drama. Yeah.
That's with these style reality shows, I don't mind the creative side because it's interesting. What I don't like is all the drama that comes with it.
And I think that's why people fall in love with The Great British Bake Off, because there is no drama.
Yeah.
Except that one time that girl took someone else's pudding off the freezer before it was set.
Like, yeah, but like...
everyone was like, oh my God, but that's the biggest scandal that's ever happened on
The Great
British Bake Off.
Yeah, they don't have to do this super hype and then wait until someone pulls a certain expression to mix it in and edit it together. To
like,
like
America's Next Top Model, always like... over the top, whereas this is like everyone's helping each other, everyone's nice, everyone's just trying to get the job done. Like, they're in it to win it. That's the other good thing, is that it's not just Americans, which is no offense America, but it's a bit of a breath of fresh air because
it's not dramatized as much.
Yeah, so there are a few Americans, there are a few Canadians, a few Brits, a few people from Italy, China, South Korea.
It's
so
all
there's a lot of different cultures,
global,
and it's really good
international.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you who the unsung hero of that show is. The girl who stands behind stage on the catwalk, and she's like, okay,
three, two, one.
Energy. I don't know why, but they show her every single episode at the start of the catwalk, like five or six times, just
attitude.
As the models are walking on. Yeah, like, she's the unsung hero.
She's great. She's what really makes the show. She's always in the shadows.
Yeah, she's always somewhere in the shadows, just throwing out random adjectives and counting down.
But I'm really enjoying it. And if you like sort of competitive reality TV shows, this is like quite a nice one. It's not as friendly as The Great British Break Off.
Yeah.
But it's not as dramatic as...
America's Next Top Model.
Yeah. And it is very like Project Runway, because they were always like nice to each other and stuff.
Yeah.
They had a few like meltdowns.
It's definitely got a better like... budget, I'd say.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
It has more of a creative feel to it.
Yeah, but they are professionals. Like I said earlier, like, so they've all got their own lines already. They've all, like, one of them is, like, they were like, oh, I dressed Chance the Rapper yesterday on our day off. Like,
yeah.
They're all, like, established designers, so they're all going to be professional, whereas Project Runway, like, I sewed my daughter's pants up when they split.
Yeah, yeah. So I guess it's harder to, like, have that relatability because it's not, like, not rags to riches, but it's not, like, they've had to work their way up. They're already made.
Yeah, they've worked their way up and people. They just want to showcase the work and challenge themselves. And I just think it's really good.
They're not like right at the top of the game, but they're sort of making the way.
Yeah,
basically they've done a few bits for big names, but then, like, you know, at the end where they're doing the catwalks and like, oh, we've got a special guest, this guy, who's, and the people they bring on, they're
all
like,
gasping whenever they read out mega, the names. But...
like, people.
Yeah, like the only dramatic thing that happened was someone was reaching for a bit of fabric and knocked the metal pole off and it like hit that guy in the face and he needed to go and get stitches and everyone was just like, oh!
Yeah.
And that was it.
And even with that, they could have continued the show, but you'd be like, why has that guy got a plaster on his face? So I guess they had to make
a
deal out of that.
It was horrible.
My only downside to show... Right.
Is it the jokes that Tan and Alexa make because they're terrible?
No, I don't even mind that. There's no Tim Gunn.
Oh, I miss Tim Gunn.
There's no make it work.
Designers, make it work.
Make it work. So that's it. It's good, easy, binge-worthy
We've watched TV. Like five
like,
episodes in
come home
2 days.
From work, looking for something dead easy to watch. Just put that on. And it's just dead easy commenting on what you like or don't like.
Yeah,
about
we
clothes.
Can lie on the couch and be like, that's crap.
Yeah, yeah. I wouldn't have done that. No. Those shoes with that dress, don't think so. I wouldn't. Oh, that fabric is definitely difficult to work with. Although there's that, the British couple who aren't, like, the British pair.
Yeah.
Who are like, oh, leather's so difficult to work with. And then every week they work with leather.
Well, no, I think like the leather that they were using this week, though, he did say, this is a leather that you only use on shoes and handbags and we're making a coat out of it.
Yeah.
But leather's difficult to work with, apparently, because once you pierce it, she said, once you pierce it, there's a hole. And I was like, isn't that the case with everything?
I think it's a more like,
visible
hole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it just made me laugh. I was just like...
Yeah, cool. So, yeah, that's next in fashion. So we've not finished that quite yet.
No, we're halfway
we?
Through. There's only half of the people left. And I'm wondering if near the end, if they'll, like, solo them out or... Because, like, how do they determine a winner?
That'll be interesting to see.
Because they say only one of you is going to win $250,000.
Yeah.
Which, when you're British, but you're just like, ugh.
All right, who do you think is going to win?
I would like Dragon Princess to win.
Yep.
But I think the LA boys will win.
Right, yeah.
I don't know their names. I'm so sorry. I don't know anybody's
names.
No,
the ones you mean, though. The one who got the pole through his face.
The pole through the face, yeah.
I think they're definitely favourites to win.
Yeah.
But I sort of want the British pair to win.
I do, but they're always, like, they're okay every week.
Yeah, they just get
They're
bad.
Not, like, Dragon Princess every week are either they're amazing or they just miss the mark completely. The two LA guys are like, every week they're just like, the finish on this is incredible.
Yeah.
It's a bit costumey, but.
Well, if people are watching at home, let us know who you think is going to win.
Yeah.
Right, so we'll probably finish watching that by next week's episode.
Yeah.
So we'll catch up with everyone on that.
Catch up, watch it, otherwise you might find out who wins.
Ooh. Right, so time for a game.
Ew.
Game music.
Da da da.
Game music.
Da da da.
Might put some in here, might not. Right, so this is a game that I don't think we've played yet.
Okay.
I'm calling it Shows They've Been In.
Okay.
Right? So I name an actor or actress, and you have to say three shows they have been in. Each show is worth 1 point. You have to say, three. Must have been in at least 5 episodes. Okay?
Okay.
Bit of a tough one.
And does it have to be, is it just TV?
Just TV. I've written down most of the like better known shows that these people have been in. There are, for people playing along at home, some of these actors or actresses are quite old, some of them, in order for them to be in like such successful TV shows, like for long periods of time type
thing. I'm panicking.
So there's probably some that I may have missed off.
Yeah.
But just IMDb it and give yourself a point. Okay. If you want. Right. So in at number one.
No.
Question one. It's our friend, who I wish was our friend in real life, Nathan Fillion.
Oh, Nathan Fillion.
Oh, Nathan Fillion.
Nathan. I was going to do it, I can't even think of one.
That's a bad impression.
Nathan. Okay. Big Mouth.
Yeah, you can have Big Mouth.
Firefly.
Yep.
And Santa Clarita Diet.
Nice. Yep, nice. You could have also had Castle.
Oh, okay.
Buffy. Not sure on that one. Don't know if I've written that one down wrong. you could have had Modern Family.
I haven't seen Modern Family.
He plays...
Oh, he plays Thingy's boyfriend, the weatherman, doesn't he?
Yes.
What's her name? Alex, Luke, and Hayley. He's Hayley's boyfriend.
And you could have had Two Guys and a Girl and or Two Guys and a Girl and a Pizza Place.
I can't believe I didn't think of Two Guys and a Girl. Aww, yeah. Shame on me.
Okay, so yeah, you got that. Three Thank points. You. Okay, next up, okay. We've got Ted Danson.
Oh, Good Place.
Mm-hmm.
Cheers.
Yep.
I don't know.
Oh, okay, so there's two.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say they're both well-known shows.
Are they shows that I've seen?
You've seen one of them. You won't like the other one.
Oh. In my head, all I can hear is like, do, 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 do,
do, do, do. I don't know what that's the theme tune to.
Dallas, I think.
Oh, it's... I have not got Dallas written down here.
I don't think he's in Dallas. I think no. I could just imagine him with a cowboy hat on. And
Okay, so if he's wearing a cowboy hat, mm-hmm. He might be a...
Cowboy.
Yes, or...
Sheriff.
Right, and what's a sheriff?
Policeman.
Okay, and he's a policeman in...
NCIS.
Yes.
CSI Miami.
He is in CSI.
CSI.
No, that's fine. You can have that one. I believe he is in that. You could have also had Fargo, in which he plays a policeman. Series one, at least.
Uh-huh.
I don't
remember Ted Danson being in that at all.
And Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Okay. I've never watched that. Sorry.
Okay. So, again, another 3 points.
I did get a bit of hand from you, but yeah. Thank you.
From the hint hand. Okay, so we've got question three.
How many questions are there?
Six.
Okay.
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 And our actress, our first actress, is Katie Sagal, S-A-G-A-L. This is the difficulty. I can't tell you what things she's been in.
She been in any movies?
Probably, but I haven't got them written down.
I don't know who that is. What does she look like?
She has shoulder length, brown hair, and she's, I'd say, late 40s, early 50s.
I have no idea who that is. Katie Sagal.
Yes. Okay, we had to have a brief pause there whilst we figured out who Katie Sagal was. Lisa's now seen a photo of her.
I've seen a photo of Katie Sagal, and I can tell you that she is Leela from Futurama.
Yep.
She is Mum from 8 Simple Rules on... Yep. How to Date My Daughter, which is the original name for it, and then they dropped it.
No bonus points, but yeah.
Okay. And I believe she is in the bike one.
The bike one. What's that called? Yep.
Oof, what's that called? What's that called?
I can't tell you.
I did have, I had loads. I was being all smuggins before when I saw a picture of her. Sons of Anarchy.
Yes, nice. That's another three. The ones I've got written down are The Connors, Shameless, Superior Donuts, Tucker, Mary, Chatham, and A to Z.
Okay. I did have another one, but I can't think of what it was.
Yeah, Katie Sagal has been in a lot of TV shows.
Mm-hmm.
I only know the ones you said.
Yeah.
And Shameless, but only the British Shameless.
Yeah. I prefer
Shameless.
The American Shameless. Oh.
Really? I haven't actually seen the American one. So
it's William H. Macy.
I can't really give it that one. Okay, so, yep, 9 points. Three for three.
Mm.
Okay, in at number four.
Yep.
This is going to be a breeze.
Okay.
For yourself. In at number four is Milo Ventimiglia.
Oh, God, dream man. I can only think of two things that he's been in now.
Oh, no.
Three. I've got it. This Is Us, Heroes, and Gilmore Girls.
What was the... Was it Heroes that you forgot about? Yeah, Peter Petrelli.
Yeah.
He plays. Yep. He's also in The Whispers, Chosen, and Mob City. Yeah, no idea of those either. But yeah, Heroes, Gummer Girls, and This Is Us.
Dream Man.
Okay, question 5.
Yes.
We've got Alison Brie.
What's that show called now? Glow.
Yeah.
I was going Gorgeous Ladies. Glow. Community.
Yeah. This is a bit of a tricky one. I forgot that she was in this until I was IMDb in it.
Mm. And something I've seen.
Yes.
How About Your Mother?
No.
Okay. Oh my goodness. What genre is the TV show? I assume comedy, like sitcom-y.
Drama.
Oh, a drama. Is it funny?
Yes, at times.
90210? But
not like seriously funny. Just like funny in bits. Set oh God. In the, I'm going to say, 20s.
The 20s?
Yeah, maybe. 30s, 40s.
Huh?
It moves forward.
Oh, Mad Men. She plays the wife of the other one.
The annoying guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mad Men. You could have also had BoJack Horseman.
Oh, I've never seen that.
Okay, so question 6. John Lithgow.
John Lithgow? The Queen. What's that called? The Crown.
The Crown.
Third Rock from the Sun.
Yep.
That's my John Lithgow impression. I don't know, no one can see it at home, but...
Yeah. I see it. It's almost as good as your Renée Zellweger impression.
Not good on a podcast to do visual impressions.
Maybe we'll put it on Instagram.
No, no one's seeing those. John Lithgow. John Lithgow. I can't think of anything else that John Lithgow's been in. No.
I keep saying you should watch this show.
I feel like he was is someone's dad in something, but I think I'm thinking of Daddy's Home too.
He is someone's dad in Daddy's Home. He's Will Ferrell's dad.
I know.
But that's a film.
I know. But
he is someone's dad in another TV show.
Like How I Met Your Mother.
Yeah, but he's only in it for that's 4 what I was episodes.
Thinking. Oh, it misses it by 1 episode.
Yeah.
Whose dad is he? Barney's?
Yeah, it's Barney's dad.
Sorry, spoilers. Ish. 10 years
it's
ago.
Been out for years.
Oh, that's so annoying because I think that was my next answer.
He was in How I Met Your Mother after he was in this show I've got in mind. He's in series 3 or 4 of this show.
That's literally not information.
It is information. It literally is information.
Okay, that's helpful exactly information. And is this show similar to How I Met Your Mother?
No.
Is it serious?
Very serious.
Very serious. Very serious.
Yes. And it's about serial killers.
Dexter.
Dexter.
I've never watched Dexter.
Oh, that
series. Well, I have. I watched the first 3 episodes.
That series and John Lithgow as the Trinity Killer is...
Is that a big spoiler?
Terrifying.
Do we know he's a serial killer? Have you just spoiled it for me? Yeah, you have, haven't you?
No, I don't think so. Yeah, and also, it's been out for like...
I know, but I've just said I'm not seeing
years.
It.
I know, but you haven't. Anyway, the other thing he could have been in is 20 Good Years.
Never heard of it.
No.
Do you like John Lithgow, though? He plays very good baddies and very good comedians. Like, yes. Very good, like, airheads.
Oh, in like Third Rock from the Sun.
Yeah, he's like a good airhead, but then like...
That series.
Him as Winston Churchill, though, is incredible.
Also, young Joseph Gordon-Levitt in Third Rock from the Sun.
Yeah. Kirstie Alley.
Kirstie Alley, who's that?
The girl.
Which one? There's a couple of girls.
The sister of Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Oh, okay.
And then, what's that other one? He's got a silly name. Frenchie. What's his name?
I don't know.
I think his name might be French.
I can't remember.
A few moments later.
Oh, yeah, I remember
French
him now.
French Stewart.
Yeah, and he's got, like, the weird voice, and he's like, greetings from the round, and he puts his arms up.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt looks like a little baby.
It was such a good show. Is that still on Netflix?
I hope so. If you've never seen Third Rock from the Sun, like, you'd never seen it, had you?
Only maybe the odd episode when I was a kid and I never knew what it
was. Yeah, because, like, nowadays on Channel 4 at breakfast, it's like Everybody Loves Raymond, Frasier, and King of Queens. When I was little, breakfast meant Third Rock from the Sun.
Yeah, or Just Shoot Me.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about Just Shoot Me. That wasn't very good.
I really liked it.
I didn't mind it, it just wasn't very
good. Young David Spade.
And Eric Roberts. Julia Roberts' brother.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
And the ginger one.
Yes.
Oh, and what's that show where they're all in bed together on the intro? video. What are they called? The beginning of something? The intro?
Intro, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'll get there.
The game for the listeners, if you can figure out any of the TV themes that Lisa hums, then let us know. Oh, yeah. If you figure out what it is, don't
it's
say
it. Goldie Hawn's son.
Right, yeah.
Don't know his
and
real
Patrick
name.
And Patrick Warburton.
Patrick Warburton. David Spade.
David Spade.
What's that called?
I can't remember. Taken something. Anyway. We're tangent.
Well, you knew what I meant. You got it.
Yep. What did you think of the game?
I really enjoyed that. It was hard.
It's surprisingly difficult to find.
I think it was harder
questions.
To remember what people looked like.
Yeah.
On that one person, I couldn't remember.
Katie Sagal.
Mm-hmm.
It was difficult to find people who have been in multiple TV shows, over three.
Yeah.
Like hit TV shows.
That's why I was panicking, because all I could think of was like. The granddad from Modern Family, and I was like,
yeah.
I don't know what TV shows he's been in, but I know he's been in a lot. Ed O'Neill, yeah, he's in like not Fuller House, but My Wife and My Kids,
yeah.
But not My Wife and Kids.
And then you've got to like find that they're in more than four episodes. So this guy, is it Henry Winkler, played the Fonz in Happy Days?
Yeah.
And
he's in everything.
Parks and Rec, but usually he's in everything for three or four episodes. Barry, he was in Barry.
He was in Barry.
Which is another great TV show. But maybe we'll do another round and maybe Henry Winkler will be in it.
That's a nice new game. What was it called?
Shows They've Been In. Good name.
Just so I can
Good
put it in
Jack.
Our Bible.
Well done. In the Bible. In the Bible of the perfect guest day.
So next week, we thought we'd give you a heads up of what we're
planning on
watching. Just so that you can watch it.
And listen along. Watch and listen along.
Yeah.
At the same time.
Maybe not at the same time, because we'll probably talk about things faster than you've
been. Time.
So we have started The Outsider, which is on Sky Atlantic,
it's
HBO.
It's the new Jason Bateman TV show based on a Stephen King novel.
It's been really good so far.
It has.
We're a few episodes in. I'm just hoping it keeps the momentum.
I need to know what's going to happen.
I know. So.
I need to know.
Guys, you got to watch that. You've got a week.
You've been watching that weird-looking one.
I started episode one of Virgin River on Netflix. It's another spinning out kind of show.
Yep.
It's pretty crap, but I'm already invested.
It looks like the sort of show that would be on
it's so cheesy.
E4 after the good shows are finished.
Yeah, so like not even the good shows. So it's like, I imagine if this was 2005.
It would be after Veronica Mars.
I was just going to say Veronica Mars. That was exactly what I was going to say.
Or it'd be looks like what
Veronica
was it?
Mars, Virgin River, Hollyoaks.
Was it Everdale or something like that?
Everdale? Oh, I don't know
and
that
it
one.
Had Brie from Desperate Housewives in it.
Oh, God, I don't know. I don't know that one. But Veronica Mars was exactly what I was going to say.
Yeah.
And then this would be on and then it'd be like Hollyoaks.
Yeah. So our TV shows.
Sorry, yeah, I got distracted.
The Outsider, Virgin River, and we'll probably finish watching Next in Fashion. And also we're going to try and watch Uncut Gems.
Because it's on Netflix now. I know it's been in the cinema for a few weeks, but it came out on Netflix on January 31st.
Yep.
Yeah.
It came out on January 31st. It's the new Adam Sandler film where he plays a bit of a gangster, a bit of a con man, and he sells people's jewellery, doesn't he?
Yeah, he sells jewellery to sports people, like celebrity
athletes,
but sports people. But he's also got a gambling addiction.
Yeah.
But Idina Menzel is his wife in it.
Oh.
So I'm really looking forward to it.
Sandler in a serious role as well.
Yeah.
Should be good. Watch the Hollywood Roundtable with him.
Oh. You're really enjoying them, aren't you?
That's my one cool thing this week.
Yeah. And I'm going to try and watch Booksmart, which has got Jonah Hill's sister in it.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I've heard good things. It's on Amazon Prime at the minute.
Right.
Might not get around to it, but I'm planning on watching it. So if I don't watch it this week, I'll watch it next week. So.
Yes. And also, if we've got a lot on the cards there, but we might try and give Picard a go. The new Star Trek series that's just started on Amazon Prime.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that looks ace. Patrick Stewart, the Peace Jew.
Ace me base.
Have you got any cool things this week?
No, because I thought us saying things that were coming on next week might have taken over, so I didn't plan anything.
Fair enough. My quick one cool thing. It's on YouTube. It's been on YouTube for quite a while. Mm-hmm. It's these Hollywood Reporter roundtables, and they get like 6 or 7 actors or actresses or producers or directors, and they sit around a table with a journalist and answer questions. They're all about an hour long. They're really good. You get some really interesting points of view and advice if you're into the profession they're into, or just a really good, really good points of view.
Yeah.
That's all.
I've decided I have got a cool thing.
Okay.
It's not a real cool thing, but...
It's me.
It's a Lisa cool thing.
Right.
Nintendo have released an Animal Crossing Nintendo Switch. Comes out like my birthday.
Oh, well, there you go.
For my birthday.
Right.
And we don't have a Switch.
We don't.
And this one's got Tom Nook on it.
I don't like Tom Nook.
Don't care. I love Tom Nook. And it's mint, which is also my favourite colour.
Right. So what you're saying is Nintendo have made a Nintendo Switch just for you.
They really have. It's got Tom Nook on it. It's mint. And it's a Nintendo Switch that comes with Animal Crossing for £320.
That's a lot.
It's a lot of money, guys.
You'll have to be...
Jack, if you put £1 away a day, you have about £30. Only £290 to go.
Yeah, I do like the look of Nintendo Switch.
Especially the Animal Crossing one.
Well, they've brought loads of games like from my childhood or games. Just like Ni No Kuni 1 is on there.
Have you already got that?
I know, but I don't have it on a...
Switch.
On something I can take with me.
That's a good point. They've also got like Luigi's Mansion 3. I didn't even know there was 2, but okay. Wow. Which I loved on the GameCube. Animal Crossing.
Yep.
Super Smash Bros. Dip.
You're not supposed to say what it is and then do the theme.
Oh.
Yeah. So, we'll see. We've been talking about picking up a Switch for a while.
Yeah, so we can go on our holidays and use it on the plane.
On the plane.
But if I'm going to get one, all of the Switches have been ruined for me. It's beautiful.
They're so hard to get. They sell out. Like.
Well, you're meant to pre-order it now. No, I don't have any money.
No, me neither. Cool. Well, it is a cool, to be honest, I'll put the link in the show notes. It is a cool looking
Don't you all buy film. It? So there's none left for me, though.
One thing I've been debating on is, you know our answers to the games?
Yeah.
Do you think we should put those on in the show notes as well?
Our answers?
Yeah. And then if I say, here's the answers, don't read past this bit. Because we like make the answers and then sometimes we talk about them for a while and I don't put them in the show notes. What do you guys think?
I don't think so because I don't know.
Okay, well, there'll be links in the show notes anyway. That's it from us this week?
Yeah, I think so.
Cool. Watch the shows so that we can all listen along and talk along together next week.
Alright.
Alright.
Thank you very much for listening. If you want to find us on social media... You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Perfect Cast Pod.
Or you can email in at theperfectcastpod@gmail.com. Don't forget to subscribe and review, and we'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hello!
Hello.
That's usually how it starts. Someone screams hello.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, I really did scream. Like, I want to apologise for last week.
Hello!
I turned myself down and it was still too loud.
Oh, really?
It was like, holy! It was really, really loud. So, I'm sorry about that. And if you're listening back through the episodes, because you've only just found us after however long, episode 9 starts with a loud hi. Cool. Right, we should probably record our intro thing, shouldn't we? Because we do the intro at the end of the show.
Yep.
Even though I'm very tired.
Can we just do the intro? Like, that's the last thing to do.
See you guys at the start, even though this is the end.
You're making it last longer.
You're making it last longer. Bye.
This podcast is part of the After Dark Podcast Network. We'll